Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Jorky Mets Podcast. I am your host, Charlie DeLuca. With me, all by his lonesome, no Dell today, as he's feeling a little bit under the weather. We have Corne Hogeveen, though, staying up late with us all the way in the Netherlands. And it's been a couple of weeks, Corne. Some big Mets news has happened as free agency has gotten underway, and thank you for staying up till almost midnight to talk about it here.
It's already been past midnight here.
Oh, but... no. Even I will once get right into it then. The big Met news coming out of the last couple of weeks since our last episode was the Edwin Diaz signing. Biggest contract given to a reliever in the history of baseball. 5 years, $102 million. Obviously, Corne, kind of a no-brainer for the Met fans and for the Mets front office more so to get out in front of the pack, not let anybody try to entice Diaz to sign with their team, take him away from the Mets, and to lock up that back end of the bullpen with so many question marks in that roster spot going into next season.
Yeah, definitely. I think a clear need was a closure when you don't have Diaz. We didn't have the arms in the minor leagues to step up in that role, so we knew we had to buy a closer, and why not the guy who was so good for your team? So to me, I know it's a lot of money. I know a lot of other teams fans I've seen on Twitter saying, well, it's a major overpay. He had just one truly dominant season. I don't really give anything about that. This year was a different Diaz. You saw the confidence in him. You saw the sharpness in his pitches. I have no reason to expect that will go away. Obviously, he could still have some outings where he's a little bit off, but that's every closer. I still think and still believe next year he will be his dominant self. And yeah, so it's a no-brainer. I don't care if it's 20.5 with deferred money, 18.4, if I remember correct, on the luxury tag.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good move. It was a must-needed move. And we have money, we know that. So I have no issue at all with this move. And I'm actually pretty thrilled to see Edwin Diaz with the Mets for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think going into the offseason, the big three free agents, Diaz, Nimmo, DeGrom, I think Diaz was always the most likely to re-sign with the Mets just because of the things he was saying during the season, of how the fans were treating him. Obviously, they fell in love with him in 2022, and it's really interesting because obviously when he first got here, he wasn't very good, and people were saying that, you know, acquiring him was one of the worst trades ever made, you know. And now he turned into one of the best closers, if not the best closer in the league last year. And we'll see what happens over the next 5 years. You mentioned the deferred money, so that gives them a little bit more flexibility to make moves this offseason. One player who will not, as of right now, be re-signing with the Mets is Taijuan Walker. No qualifying offer given to Walker. They gave three... Nimmo, DeGrom, and Chris Bassett. Those were obvious choices. Interesting strategy, I think, Corne, not to give Walker the qualifying offer as he's now a free agent and no draft pick attached to him as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's actually good for Walker that he doesn't get a QO, because I think a pitcher of Walker caliber will probably get hurt with the draft pick attached to signing him. So it's good news for Walker. I think he gets a multi-year deal somewhere, maybe not the AAV of 19.4, but he will still get a nice multi-year deal. So he will do all right by himself. I was a little bit surprised with the Mets not having enough pitching in the rotation. But on the other hand, I think you can, with Carrasco coming back and with Peterson, maybe a spot in the back end of the rotation, I believe you need a 2 and 3, and I don't really see Taiwan Walker as a true number 3 for this contending team. So I think they probably aim a little bit higher for those two spots than Taiwan Walker. And then I think the choice was between are we keeping Carrasco for 14 million with the 3 million buyout, so actually 11 million, or Walker for 19.4. And I can't blame the Mets for that route. Although, with the rotation as thin as it is right now, it makes you wonder if a one-year deal for a guy who was really good for us wasn't a low-risk type of move. I mean, 19.4 is a lot of money, but 1 year, it's not really that you are attached to someone for multiple years. So that's maybe they could have done that. On the other end, I think a guy like Andrew Heaney won't get a 3-year deal, probably a 2-year deal with his injury risk, maybe even a 1-year deal. So
maybe. Yeah, I think it's an interesting point you bring up, Cornet. You seem to you're under the impression that maybe the Mets were choosing between having Carrasco back for what essentially is $11 million or extending the qualifying offer to Walker with the thought that he would take it and you'd have him for 19.5.
Yeah, I think with, and also I think it's maybe even a little bit from, well, we don't really need you back, and I think the odds are not good for Walker when he gets that draft pick. I think that's really, really going to hurt him. So maybe it's even a, well, thank you for a couple of nice years.
Yeah.
I know you want a multi-year deal, so we aren't giving you the QO, so you don't have that attached to you, so you can be a free agent without
right.
the draft pick attached. Maybe, I mean, maybe that was in the conversation. We don't know what the Mets and the front office have talked about before for the offseason. I think that would be a nice way to look at it for Mets fans, that your team is doing that for players, because I think the Mets get a 4th round pick or something, or maybe even a 5th round.
I'm not exactly sure. I know they changed the rules from it not being like a
first. Yeah, because we got some penalties, so I think we have some lower draft picks. So
yeah,
it's not really that big of a deal for the Mets as it might be for others. We can lose a big one, but we don't gain a big one.
Right, and I think it's an interesting point you bring up earlier. I think the only real criticism you can make is the fact that there are so many holes in that Mets rotation right now. You know, you mentioned, you know, Peterson and Carrasco. I'm not sure that every Met fan would be, and even the Met front office really, would be comfortable with those two being your 4 or 5 starters. I think Peterson is much better suited as kind of the swingman, multi-inning guy, spot starter role that he was in last year. So I think, you know, and this is all assuming that Walker would accept the qualifying offer, having that insurance of, sure, you go into this right now, Scherzer, Walker, Carrasco, is, you know, you have 3 guys already, because you don't know what's going to happen to Bassett. You don't know what will happen with DeGrom. So I think that the decision not to extend a qualifying offer is only interesting because of the fact that there are so many different areas and so many different ways I think that the Mets could attack this offseason from a starting pitching perspective.
Yeah, definitely. But also, there are some starting pitchers on the market that, in my opinion, you can get without really paying. I mentioned Andrew Heaney. I think that's a guy who won't. He even last year he was hurt, and the years before he wasn't very good. He has some stuff, so I has some good strikeout stuff. So I think that's a guy that maybe you can bring in to be your fifth guy and then have Peterson as a backup plan because Heaney has some injury history. So maybe that's the way they can go, and that wouldn't really cost a lot, and they still might be able to add a guy like, you know, a nice 2 and 3 starter. We're probably going to talk about some free agents later, but that still gives you some flexibility. So I am a fan of Peterson. I think he will be fine as a fifth guy. I think he can make another step forward after a very solid year in a pretty difficult role. Let's not forget that it's not easy to go from AAA, make a spot start there, come back, have so much days off, be in the bullpen, then make a start again. That's not an easy role. So I think he fared really well, and I would be good with him as our fourth or fifth guy, with adding then you have to add 2 strong arms for 2 and 3. I would be good with that, but that's my opinion. And I get what Mets fans are a little bit wary about, those 2 up the back end.
Yeah, that's some good points you bring up, Cornet. We'll see. There's obviously a ton of offseason left to be played, and I'm sure the Mets will fill those holes in the rotation as well as the bullpen. And maybe they already have filled one of those spots in the bullpen, claiming a pitcher off of waivers from the Yankees recently, hard-throwing right-hander Steven Ridings. An intriguing arm, Cornet. Has a lot of injury history, but can hit triple digits. And with how many different spots there are in that Mets bullpen, I'm sure he'll be able to compete for one of those come spring training.
Yeah, and also let's not forget, he's a guy with options.
Right.
And we desperately need a guy who can move around from the minor leagues to the major leagues. We don't have that a lot. And I know Steven Ngosek, who's out of options this year. So those arms getting a little bit more and more thin for us without really great arms moving up. So it was a great move for the situation the Mets have in their bullpen. A guy with a big arm who was terrific in 2021 in every level he pitched. High strikeout numbers, high velo guy with a great slider. And I was looking at some Yankee YouTubers on YouTube to see what they said about him, and they were really, really intrigued by his arm after the 2021 season. So they had high hopes for him. Obviously, last year some shoulder problems, which made him miss most of the year. But hopefully he's healthy, and when he's healthy, I think the Mets might have stole a pretty good arm from the Yankees. So that's a double plus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think, too, if there's going to be an area where the Mets kind of, I don't want to say cut costs, but limit their financial flexibility, right? You know, we'd like them to re-sign DeGrom. We'd like them to re-sign Nimmo. So their rotation and their position players are going to be expensive. Bullpen, and especially, you know, nowadays, is such a volatile position. You guys go up and down and have great seasons followed by bad. I mean, look at Ottavino, look at Diaz. You know, their stats have very much fluctuated the past couple of years. Diaz a little less so, but certainly Ottavino 2022 was a huge bounce back for him. So I like the idea of kind of throwing darts at maybe 3 or 4 different guys here and just hoping that, you know, 1 or 2 of them can harness whatever productivity they had in the minors or in prior seasons and be a valuable member of the bullpen for the Mets in 2023.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We just need so much that we aren't able to, you know, sign Robert Suarez, who already signed anyways. But all the big free agents won't be in the Mets bullpen altogether. So we need to find a little bit of the gems, a little bit maybe some guys you know, on lower cost deals, on bounce back guys. One example I want to give is a guy like Taylor Rogers, who wasn't really good last year. I think he can be on a somewhat lower cost, a guy who you can bring in, maybe not after a breakout year, but maybe after a down year, and see if he can perform well. I think those arms will probably be the main targets for the Mets the rest of the way, after getting, hopefully, their lockdown closer again.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And I think, like I said before, bullpen is the one area where I'd be okay with the Mets kind of shopping in that lower tier, and, you know, maybe just stockpiling on you know, guys on, you know, 1 year deals, or you know, maybe making a trade for a younger player who has some years of control. But certainly, I think this is an exciting arm, and I think someone to look out for come spring training to see if he can make the major league roster there.
And if not, you have a guy in the minors who you can bring up. So yeah,
exactly.
Either way, it's a terrific depth move, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Some roster flexibility and you know, kind of a low risk, high reward type of move, and that's what the Mets need. You know, in certain spots of their roster, with other positions taking up so much of the payroll. One last topic of discussion here we wanted to get into, as the deadline for non-tender candidates is tomorrow. The Mets really only have the one in Dom Smith. He's due, you know, according to projections, to make around $4 million in arbitration. And, you know, it really just comes down to brass tacks here. Cornet underperformed the last 2 years after a great 2020 season. And really just doesn't have a roster spot right now. Obviously, Pete is at first for the foreseeable future. And Vogelbach is serving as that left-handed power bat off the bench. So not really a whole lot of, you know, at-bats there that you could see Dom Smith having. And, you know, unless they find a trade candidate in the next 24 hours or so, it kind of seems like a no-brainer that the Mets would non-tender him.
Yeah, and finding a trade candidate is hard right now, because I think every other team is probably waiting for the Mets to non-tender him anyways. And if they can trade with the Mets after. So there's no reason that any team would go hard after a guy who's probably getting non-tendered.
Yeah.
And probably being signed for less than the money that you own him then. So it's probably going to be a non-tender for Dom, which sucks, because the last two seasons, I mean, he was so promising in 2020.
Yeah.
In 2019, he was also really good. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But it's just the last 2 years, it's just hasn't been, the power has completely been gone. Maybe, I don't know what happened. I think in 2021, he was a big part of our offense. And after that 2020, he really got an everyday spot that year, but he didn't perform. So that year really started to get a toll on Dom. And yeah, right now it's probably a non-tender, and we will probably see him in another uniform, maybe on a low minor league deal by like the Tampa Bay Rays or the Oakland A's. I think that's a good spot for him, you know, to get a little bit off that pressure and just play and hope to refine his form. So I'm guessing that he will find a spot with one of those teams. And I wish him the best, because it seems like he's a really good dude.
Yeah, certainly we'll be rooting for Dom wherever he goes, unless it's with the Yankees or the Phillies or the Braves. But other than that, we don't need him turning into another Travis d'Arnaud, where we play him 15 times a year and he hits 15 home runs against us. But definitely it's going to be tough to see him go, because obviously he was a first-round draft pick and there was a lot of hype around his arrival to the major league team, and it didn't really work out after those two promising seasons, like you mentioned, Corne. So we'll see where he ends up. But that will do it for this shortened episode, a little rapid episode. Corne needs to get to bed. It's almost 1 a.m. there in Holland. So we'll let Corne go. And we will talk to you guys probably after Thanksgiving with hopefully Del Alba back with us. But for now, for Corne Hogeveen, I've been Charlie DeLuca. This has been the Droki Mets Podcast. And as always, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.